This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, a look at how financial opportunity centers help local families and individuals. First up this afternoon, the Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio's recently released report, The State of Black Cincinnati 2015, Two Cities, shows the stark disparities faced by African Americans in Cincinnati and Hamilton County. Here to talk about the report and what can be done in answer to its findings are Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio President and CEO Donna Jones Baker, Robert Rogers, Urban League Workforce Development Program Manager, and local resident Sherwin Wall, who is currently enrolled in the Urban League's Solid Opportunities for Advancement and Retention class, which is also known as SOAR. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sherwin, Donna, and Robert, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Mark, thank you so much for inviting us.
Donna, give us the overall view of this. What does this report show about the social and economic status of African Americans in Cincinnati?
So let me give you just a little bit of background. I guess it was a couple of years ago that the economy started to get a lot better after the Great Recession. And we started to hear things like the unemployment rate has gotten a lot better. Housing is selling more. The economy is much better. People began to start to feel real good about where we were at that point. Our board and staff started to think, though, that's not the reality of the people that we are seeing every day. And so we decided that that we would look at where we are and how are we as a community, as an African American community. And we started work on this report, and it does show what we have been feeling. You look at the unemployment rate, and unemployment now in Cincinnati is somewhere in the neighborhood of 4%. In the African American community, it's more like 17%. Mm. And so we looked at a number of different areas and how we're doing. And that was the result of what we see today, the State of Black Cincinnati.
Robert, but what kind of research went into creating this report?
We did a lot of research. That's okay. We did a lot of research. We have a number of contributors to the State of Black Cincinnati. Eileen Cooper Reed, who has done a lot of work in the school system. Vanessa White as well was on the school board. Noble Meseru, our health commissioner. Dwight Tillery, former mayor and president of Center for Closing the Health Gap. So we have a number of experts who did a lot of research as well. We utilize some of the research from University of Cincinnati. So it is a well-documented book regarding all of the areas that we focused on.
When was the last time a similar report was done like this?
Interesting question. So the National Urban League does a State of Black America every year. Mm-hmm. And the last time we've done a State of Black Cincinnati was 20 years ago. And we feel we're sorry about that, because we feel like we may have taken our eye off the ball, which allowed our community to not really hone in on some of the issues of disparity that we found in the publication.
So how have things changed in that time span? Have we improved any in Cincinnati, or is it still pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same. When we looked at it 20 years ago, 1 in 3 African Americans did not graduate from high school. And at that point, the unemployment rate was high, but not as significantly as high as it is today. And so in many respects, we've gotten worse.
Sherwin, tell us about your personal experience. When you look at this report, do you say that there's so much truth in this? This is so valid.
It is so much truth in it, because it kind of bring you back to like the poverty of where you come from. Well, where I come from, I guess. And when it comes to us actually trying to grow up and actually go workforce ways and to a positive field, it's so many things that bring you back or trying to pull you down because of the environment you come up in. Everybody's not on the same page. That's like, it's not going to be like that. Everybody's not on the same page. Everybody don't want to do the same thing. But it's like when you're into an environment or structure that is so negative and so like just downgraded, and the way the world is set up today, it's like a lot of people only does things for the money. So being that things is done before the money or whatnot, they like to keep a lot of people down to the low poverty. Like, it's a lot of people, like, I mean, it goes as far as the rich and whatnot, but you have your individuals that is in environments that would like to proceed forth to do something with their life. And it's a hard, you know, thing with that. And it's a lot of things that keep them back. And that's where I feel like the SOURCE program is a plus, because they actually, those individuals that do want to set foot forward, set forward a foot into the positive world.
Right. Who wanna they give them an
opportunity.
Right.
Yes. And then with that opportunity, you actually can take yourself somewhere else. Like, you know, you can go to bigger aspects in life.
So how long have you been involved with the SOAR program? When did you start?
I actually started the SOAR program like 1.5 weeks ago. Like, it haven't been that long, but it's so crazy because within that 1.5 weeks, I have learned so much. It's things that I have learned in the SOAR program that I probably would have thought took me forever to learn in life by myself. Like, but the way they put the program together and break down information for you is a plus and a positive. So if you're really there to do what you came to do, and that's, you know, further yourself in life, period, it's a perfect program for you. It's definitely a perfect program. It's a plus in everything. Like, I learned everything. It's like, okay, I learned.
Can you give me some examples of that?
Yes, yeah, I can. I definitely was about to get into that for you. I learned some things like, for you to even go forward to do anything as far as on the positive aspects, you got to believe first. With belief brings vision. When you bring vision, that makes you put forth action. Action brings results. And with that circle right there, like, it just literally pertains to everyday life, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, so many things happen to me daily, and I can use that forth towards everyday life. And it's a beautiful thing because it'll make you really change your mind structure and how you think about things. Like, it's a lot of things I thought about so negative. And, you know, with the things that I was, you know, the tools that they done brought towards me in the life of, I mean, in the SOAR program, it just was a plus. It's like, I look at so many things different in life, like excuses. I hate excuses now. Like, excuses is like a bad meal. Like, I can't stand it. Like,
is this a little bit of a tough love program? They're getting in there and saying, you don't have, get out there and do it. Just stop. Yes, stop whining and do it.
Like, okay, with the tough love thing, like, it falls back to so many people are not ready or capable of dealing with certain things. So it's like you have to grasp on to the inner soul, like, and you got to learn that person, like, for what that person is. Like, I have a group of students that actually is in the class with me. And we don't know each other from Adam and Eve, like, not at all. Like, never met these guys a day in my life. But our class have came together as one so well. It's surprising, like. Because before this program, I probably wouldn't have never talked to these people a day in my life or looked their way and said hi or nothing. But, like, we greet each other every day. We gracefully grow together to show that we can do something better. That's all it is. Like, and once one person ticks on and you can actually take heed to a group and everybody else pays attention to you, they eventually will heed on. And it's a great program. It's a great program altogether.
Yeah, thank you, Sherwin. You know what? We break it down specifically like this. Our program is a 3-week program. Our first part of that program is personal development. I think that piece right there, before we even get to talk about jobs and being professional, is breaking down how you take care of your personal life, right, and even being comfortable with being uncomfortable to get out there and start talking about some situations that you may have had that probably held you back from getting employment, or, like Sherwin said, using those excuses and now folding all those excuses back and said, that's not even a word in my vocabulary anymore. I like to move forward. The SOAR program, I think, is actually indirectly related to the report that we have here for the state of Black Cincinnati, only because when you're talking about employment and poverty and jobs, we're hitting on some of those things in the SOAR program where you actually take a look at it. You say, well, why couldn't I hadn't gotten a job years ago? Because you haven't addressed some of those barriers that you had years ago. Now, when we talk about those barriers in the SOAR program and we say, that's what the reason was. we try to hit the unemployed, the underemployed, and sometimes the hard to employ to try to make sure that we actually can fit some of those individuals in that program, in the SOAR program, so we can find them employment.
Is everybody like Sherwin? Or are they all this enthusiastic? Robert? I mean, it's just great to see.
I'm quietly energetic because, I mean, as far as the program itself, I always had energy and, you know, communication and whatnot, but the program just opened up my mind to a lot more doors that I didn't think was an opinion. You feel me? I didn't think it was an option. You feel what I'm saying? So it was like, wow, like, you know, like, and Mr. Greg, you know what I'm saying, one of the teachers
sword
that
trainer.
Teach. Yeah, he's a trainer that teach. Man, he does a great job at breaking down things for people to understand better. Like, you know, like, I don't personally know personally, but I feel like just in my eyesight, common sense is 60% of life. Like, you know, really, like, common sense is like 60% of life. I'm not sure if that's the exact facts or whatnot, but everything else is teachable or achievable, like, you know what I mean, in so many ways. And that's why I, like, after joining the program, it's like now I refuse defeat. Like, defeat is not even part of nothing no more. It's like success is like a super big thing. But once you focus, once I done got focused to where I have a tunnel view, everything that's on the side is irrelevant. Like, I'm just ready to get to this picture. Like, this picture is beautiful and I need to get there. Like, you know, it's just it's a big thing.
You have to be really satisfied hearing this, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am extremely gratified by hearing this. And we do have, so every month, we have a class that is, 20, 25 individuals. Not all of them are as enthusiastic as Sherwin is. And actually, when they come in the first couple of days, many of them are a little wary. They've been to other programs before. They have not had success. And then they come to the Urban League and we work with them in a different kind of way. And it's 3 weeks of unpaid training. And so by this second week, people come to the realization that this is something different, that this is life-changing, that this will help me to do what I need to do for the rest of my life. And yes, it is gratifying hearing his excitement.
I think that's where the hard ends come at too, is because, like, when we first start, people come in here with a lot of dollar in their pocket, like, not a sense, but their mind is focused, I want a job, I want to make some money, like, I need to make some money, I got to take care of my family, I got kids, whatever, you know. So when this program is introduced to them, it's like, it sounds great, but okay, first thing on their mind is, oh, I get to make 33 hour, oh my god, I gotta get this going. But see, once you go through the process, it's like, oh man, it's taking too long, I gotta get money now. Like, that's how you have a lot of people that fall back, and mm-hmm. you have people that doesn't, you know what I'm saying, finish
the program.
They drop
off because they get discouraged.
Yes, they get discouraged. Mm-hmm. They drop out the program. Like, that's why I'm so proud of my class, because, like, I mean, we done had our people that dropped out, but man, it's so many that stood strong. Like, and I'm like, man, it's a good class right here. I peep energy. Like, energy is a big thing to me. Like, and we got a big energy in our class. Like, it's a very big energy, and that's a good thing. Like, because it seems like everybody's grasping on to the same thing. Like, you feel me? Everybody wants to get there. Everybody wants it just as bad. Like, when everybody wants it just as bad, you couldn't have a better group. Like, I feel like you couldn't have a better group. That's what I'm saying. And we was taught, like, they teach us, like, stuff like that excuses is tools you use to build a house of failure. Like, that's a big thing. Like, you know, and, like, I just go with a lot of things that he does and set it with my everyday life. Every time I learn something new, I go back and do homework on it, analyze it, and try to use it with the people that I deal with in everyday life that's not dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with. And it works. It works great. Trust and believe. It does.
I tell you what, we boast on this, because on average, once they actually complete the program, they meet with a job developer. We map out a career plan for them. Within that time frame, they're probably getting a job between 2 to 2.5 months after completing the program. So right now we're practically boasting about an 85% graduation rate and about an 80% placement rate. So on average, if you come through our SOAR program, you have an 80% chance of finding employment within 2 to 2.5 months.
We will continue our conversation about the State of Black Cincinnati Report and what can be done to answer the report's findings. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio President and CEO Donna Jones Baker, Robert Rogers, Urban League Workforce Development Program Manager, and Sherwin Waugh, who is currently enrolled in the Urban League's Solid Opportunities for Advancement and Retention class. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Donna, some of the specifics from the report. What kinds of things, for instance, poverty, the poverty rate among children under, say, 6 years of age, what is that showing? That was one of the more disturbing things, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we found that the National Urban League did a report in 2014, and they ranked 77 metropolitan areas and for median household income. And so Greater Cincinnati ranked 73 out of the 77, with a median household income for African Americans of about $24,000 and for whites at $57,000. And then poverty, 14,000 families living in poverty in the city, 76% of those were African Americans. We looked at the rate of death, and where you live matters. So, if you are, living in, African American men live 10 years less than white men, and African American women 8 years less than white women. And so it's those types of things that are in the report that really concerned us.
Yeah, you were talking about the income gap. I think $24,000 versus $57,000.
Yes.
Any ideas what's causing this this inequity?
Well, some of it is an inequity of opportunity. Some of it is individuals. When Sherwin talks about getting a job, what we talk about in SOAR and in all of our programs is not just a job. We want people to look at a career, and we want them to look at opportunities that where they can make more than minimum wage. Minimum wage jobs don't allow families to take care of the family. Doesn't it? Mother, father, and two children can't live on a minimum wage job or even two minimum wage jobs. What we find are people that working more than one job trying to take care of their families. So it is a lack of opportunity, in our opinion. You know, it used to be that that our fathers and mothers could work in factories, and we don't have factories anymore. You didn't have to have a college degree in order to take care of your family. And today, many jobs require college degrees, and individuals are getting high school diplomas. We've got to figure out how to get more individuals with the education that is necessary for the jobs that are available.
And Mark, I just want to add in just a little bit there too. Not only is it the opportunities, but when you take a look at some of the barriers that a lot of our African American individuals have, they have a lot more barriers. So it actually eliminates them from getting those opportunities that actually pays them higher dollars. So that income gap is going to be there. Donna was talking about education. They don't have the education there. So that also equals into why that gap is there. Take a look at some of the individuals coming out of prison or incarceration. And then sometimes they have to go take an employment because their parole officer or their probation officer said, you have to get a job now. So what do? They'll go get any job that's paying anything. So now, even though they may have skill sets, they're pressured by having to go get a job because they're under the gun by a probation officer or parole officer.
So how is Cincinnati doing, Robert, when it comes to being inclusive? Are we making enough progress in that area?
I think we have some steps to make. I'll be honest with you, I think we have some steps, especially on an individual level as well as on small business level as well as too. So there's some things that's happening right now, and we're trying to be a part of that position as the Urban League and the SOAR program and all the other programs we got going on over there. But we can't do it alone. We definitely can't do it alone.
Hey, you're talking about the barriers and the obstacles. Do they start before kids get out of school, or are the public schools doing enough to
teach the kids and train the kids how to get past these barriers?
I tell you what, in this report, it talks about education. I'll let Donna take lead on this a little bit, but it talks about education. It talks about how kids are not being trained properly. And right before they get to third grade, they need to be at a certain level. And those kids are not hitting those levels. And if that's not actually zeroed in on, what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of those kids falling into that uneducated gap and then not being able to move forward and get some things done.
One of the things that this community is doing through Strive is looking what type of education you need in preschool, and having a quality preschool experience for every child is extremely important. In order to meet the third grade reading guarantee, then you're going to have a quality preschool. What we're finding is that our children aren't graduating with the skills and the knowledge that they need in order to go to take advantage of higher education. So if you are not graduating, or if you're graduating and you don't have the information that you need to go to college, then you're still behind. We're finding that for the University of Cincinnati, many of the African Americans are need remediation, and they are on the Blue Ash campus, and that's the campus where you get the remediation. And so we need to do a much better job of educating children so that they can take care of themselves and their families once they graduate. But we also need to figure out how to ensure that individuals the tests that are taken, the SAT, the ACT, etc., young people are not getting the scores on those tests that they need to get into college.
Donna, when it comes to dealing with the disparities that were pointed out in this report, do we have the systems and the laws in place in this area to deal with these?
No, we really don't. And Rob talked a little bit about individuals having barriers, having been incarcerated. And, you know, that whole issue of incarceration is covered in the state of Black Cincinnati as well. And, it was done by David Singleton of the Ohio Justice and Policy Center. And in one part of the report, he indicates that I think it was in 1980 or so that, there were approximately 10,000 individuals in the justice system in Ohio. And then today there are over 50,000 people in the justice system. You know, that locking up people for crimes that, even today we're looking at, decriminalizing. For instance, marijuana. You know, we're trying to pass a law so that people can grow marijuana, but there are thousands of people languishing in jail now for selling marijuana. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, there was the issue of crack cocaine and powder cocaine. And there were sentencing disparities based on crack cocaine and powder cocaine. If you sold crack cocaine, you got 10 years. If you sold powder, you got 2 to 5. And so that, and Black people were selling crack and white were selling powder. Cocaine is cocaine is cocaine. And I'm not condoning the sale of cocaine, but there shouldn't be a disparity so that people go to prison for long periods of time and have those barriers that affect themselves and their families.
So, Donna, where do we need to start? Where do things start with this whole process so that the next time a report is done like this, we don't come back and say, well, it's the same thing as last time. Nothing's improved. Where do we start?
Well, I think that we need to recognize that the disparities exist and stop sort of trying to pretend that nothing is wrong, because we need to look it dead in the eye and say, here are the areas that we need to focus on, that we need to pay attention to, and that we need to correct. We need to make sure that our laws and the way that we do business are fair to individuals, all individuals. We talk about the fact that when any one part of our community, if there are these huge disparities, that our whole community suffers. We are, as a community, as a people, as neighborhoods, we're interconnected. And until we realize that, we're not going to have a healthy community.
When spider webs unite, they can tie up a lion. That's a huge African-American proverb that's in the State of Black Cincinnati book, and I believe in it. I think it's huge. We're not in it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. We need a whole community of partners, employer partners, community partners, all in all, so we can take care of this issue.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio President and CEO Donna Jones Baker, Robert Rogers, who's Urban League Workforce Development Program Manager, and Sherwin Waugh, who's currently enrolled in the Urban League's Solid Opportunities for Advancement and Retention, or SOAR class. Sherwin's going to join us in the next segment as we take a look at the work of local financial opportunity centers. And later in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson tells us about a Blue Ash company that's making news for printing 3D drugs. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.